Today is the 30th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and we made it. We made it, guys. We made it through four. Well, we have almost made it through 4 months of the year. And so we're bringing this month in for a landing. And even as we end this month, we will be beginning a brand new book, the Gospel of John, today. And we'll talk about that when we get there. Well done. Here we are at the cusp. And tomorrow we will begin our fifth month together. But before we can do that, we need to take the next step, the one that's right in front of us, the one that's for today. And that leads us back into the book of Judges. We'll read from the English Standard Version this week. And today, Judges, chapters 11 and 12. Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a valiant warrior. But he was the son of a prostitute, and Gilead was his father. Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when they grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You will have no inheritance in our father's family because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Then some worthless men joined Jephthah and went on raids with him. Sometime later, the Ammonites fought against Israel. When the Ammonites made war with Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. They said to him, "Come, be our commander, and let's fight the Ammonites." Jephthah replied to the elders of Gilead, "Didn't you hate me and drive me out of my father's family? Why then have you come to me now when you're in trouble?" They answered Jephthah, "That's true. But now we want to turn to you. Come fight with us, fight the Ammonites, and you will become leader of all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to them, "If you are bringing me back to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me, I will be your leader." The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord is our witness if we don't do as you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. The people made him their leader and commander, and Jephthah repeated all his terms in the presence of the Lord at Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites asking, "What do you have against me that you have come to fight me in my land?" The king of the Ammonites said to Jephthah's messengers, "When Israel came from Egypt, they seized my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok and the Jordan. Now restore it peaceably." Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites to tell him, "This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not take away the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came from Egypt, Israel traveled through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, 'Please let us travel through your land.' But the king of Edom would not listen. They also sent messengers to the king of Moab, but he refused. So Israel stayed in Kadesh. Then they traveled through the wilderness and around the lands of Edom and Moab. They came to the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon, but did not enter into the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the boundary of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. Israel said to him, 'Please let us travel through your land to our country.' But Sihon would not trust Israel to pass through his territory. Instead, Sihon gathered all his troops, camped at Jahaz, and fought with Israel. Then the Lord God of Israel handed over Sihon and all his troops to Israel, and they defeated them. So Israel took possession of the entire land of the Amorites who lived in that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the wilderness to the Jordan. The Lord God of Israel has now driven out the Amorites before his people Israel. And will you now force us out?" Isn't it true that you can have whatever your god Chemosh conquers for you? And we can have whatever the Lord our God conquers for us? Now are you better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever contend with Israel or fight against them? While Israel lived 300 years in Heshbon and Arior and their surrounding villages and in all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, why didn't you take them back at that time? I have not sinned against you, but you are doing me wrong by fighting against me. Let the Lord, who is the judge, decide the day between the Israelites and the Ammonites. But the king of the Ammonites would not listen to Jephthah's message that he sent him. The spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah, who traveled from Gilead and Manasseh, and then through Mizpah of Gilead. He crossed over to the Ammonites from Mizpah of Gilead. Jephthah made this vow to the Lord: if you in fact hand over the Ammonites to me, whoever comes out the doors of my house to greet me when I safely return from the Ammonites will belong to the Lord, and I will offer that person as a burnt offering. Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord handed them over to him. He defeated 20 of their cities with a great slaughter from Arior all the way to the entrance of Minith and to Abel-Karamim. So the Ammonites were subdued before the Israelites. When Jephthah went to his home in Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with tambourines and dancing. She was his only child. He had no other son or daughter besides her. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "No, not my daughter. You have devastated me. You have brought great misery on me. I have given my word to the Lord and cannot take it back." Then she said to him, "My father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me as you have said, for the Lord brought vengeance on your enemies, the Ammonites." She also said to her father, "Let me do this one thing. Let me wander 2 months through the mountains with my friends and mourn my virginity." "Go," he said, and he sent her away 2 months. So she left with her friends and mourned her virginity as she wandered through the mountains. At the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, and he kept the vow he had made about her. And she had never been intimate with a man. Now it became a custom in Israel that 4 days each year the young women of Israel would commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite. The men of Ephraim were called together and crossed the Jordan to Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, "Why have you crossed over to fight against the Ammonites but didn't call us to go with you? We will burn your house with you in it." Then Jephthah said to them, "My people and I had a bitter conflict with the Ammonites, so I called for you, but you didn't deliver me from their power. When I saw that you weren't going to deliver me, I took my life in my own hands and crossed over to the Ammonites, and the Lord handed them over to me. Why then have you come today to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all of the men of Gilead. They fought and defeated Ephraim, because Ephraim had said, "You Gileadites are Ephraimite fugitives in the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. Whenever a fugitive from Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the Gileadites asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he answered no, they told him, "Please say Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth, because he could not pronounce it correctly, they seized him and executed him at the fords of the Jordan. At that time, 42,000 from Ephraim died. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and when he died, he was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Ibzan, who was from Bethlehem, judged Israel after Jephthah and had 30 sons. He gave his 30 daughters in marriage to men outside the tribe and brought back 30 wives for his sons from outside the tribe. Ibzan judged Israel 7 years, and when he died, he was buried in Bethlehem. Elon, who was from Zebulun, judged Israel after Ibzan. He judged Israel 10 years, and when he died, he was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After Elon, Abdon, son of Hillel, who was from Pirathon, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys. Abdon judged Israel 8 years, and when he died, he was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Okay, so as we, we're kind of midway through our last reading for the month of April. So as we prepare to end the month of April, we also prepare to begin brand new territory. The Gospel of John, the last of the narratives in the New Testament that describe Jesus' earthly life and his ministry and his personality and his character. Which means that we have completed Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and just by way of reminder, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels, and that is because even though they were written in different times and to different audiences, they share a lot of similarities and a lot of the same stories, and so they're known as the Synoptics, whereas the Gospel of John gives us a completely different tone and has a totally different texture than the other Gospels do. It's like 90% different from the other Gospels, which allows us a different perspective and context for the life of Jesus and his ministry. And it's also widely believed that, as far as time goes, John was the last one to be written. And so John would have known the stories that were going around and that had been written down. He was there. And so rather than telling the same stories, he wrote things from his perspective. And this is important because the other Gospels, although written to differing audiences, meant to share the story, the good news of Jesus and who he was, in a compelling way to give a reason to believe. Whereas John writes his gospel to those who already do believe, to strengthen and deepen the faith of those who love Jesus. And as I've said before, this is the last time we move through this territory. The last time, not the last time in our lives, the last time as we move through this year, that we will move through the narrative stories of the life of Jesus, known as the Gospels. This is the final gospel, and so may we drink deeply as we continue our journey forward. And that next step, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." This was John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" He didn't deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." "What then?" they asked him. "Are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet?" "No," he answered. "Who are you then?" they asked. "We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' just as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John answered them. "Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie." All this happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Psalm 101. A Vow of Integrity. A Psalm of David. I will sing of faithful love and justice. I will sing praise to you, Lord. I will pay attention to the way of integrity. When will you come to me? I will live with a heart of integrity in my house. I will not let anything worthless guide me. I hate the practice of transgression. It will not cling to me. A devious heart will be far from me. I will not be involved with evil. I will destroy anyone who secretly slanders his neighbor. I cannot tolerate anyone with haughty eyes or an arrogant heart. My eyes favor the faithful of the land so that they may sit down with me. The one who follows the way of integrity may serve me. No one who acts deceitfully will live in my palace. The one who tells lies will not be retained here to guide me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, wiping out all evildoers from the Lord's city. Proverbs 14:13-14. Even in laughter, a heart may be sad, and joy may end in grief. The disloyal one will get what his conduct deserves, and a good one what his deeds deserve. Father, we thank you for your word and this brand new month that we are about to end. So we begin a week, we begin a brand new book, and we end a month all on the same day. Thank you for bringing us to this milestone as we continue to take steps forward day by day and step by step together. And as we enter into the Gospel of John, may we indeed drink deeply. May we savor all of the moments as we move through this final gospel. And Holy Spirit, lead us deeper into our relationship and love with Jesus, we pray. In his name we ask. Amen.
Dear Lord, I pray for Prodigal. I ask for you to pour out your blessings upon him. Fill him with your Holy Spirit so that his joints are revitalized and his bones and his muscles are strengthened. Lord, give him a joy that only comes from you in the midst of his struggles. Lord, we love Prodigal. We ask for your blessing, and it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. Prodigal, this is your brother Bart from Kentucky. I'm praying for you, and I know many others are as well. Hang in there, brother. Have a good day, brother.
Hey, Dab family. This is KT from Western New York. Long-time listener, like 10 years or so. First-time caller. So, here I go. I'm calling for a special request for a dear friend of ours, Myra, who has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's having a double mastectomy with reconstructive surgery. We just pray for proper healing throughout that, doctor's guidance for comfort for her family. We also pray for a friend of ours' son named Austin. We didn't get specifics on what he needs prayer for. She just asked us to pray for him. So that's what we're doing. Thank you so much. His family means so much to us on a day-to-day basis. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, DAB family. I've just listened to the prayer from April 19. I think her name was Winter. You talked about realizing you're in the early stages of codependency and those issues. And I just want to encourage you to know that there is power in the name of Jesus. I've dealt with codependency all my life. Codependency ran in my home, my parents. And one of the things that helped me, of course, was prayer and hanging on to Jesus. But what it was going to celebrate recovery. And celebrate recovery brought that community that I needed. And it just helped me to be able to overcome and work through the codependency. So if you want to look for that and see if there's something like that near where you live, but find that community. If you don't have it at your church, then maybe a new place along with the DAB family as well. But if you're in the first step, recognizing that. And so just be encouraged and hold on to the Lord and seek his will. And through him, you will be able to overcome that. And so I just want to pray for you real quick. In the name of Jesus, I lift up Winter, Father God. You know her heart, you know her life, Father God, and I just lift up her needs, Lord Jesus, that you pray that you give her wisdom, that you give her discernment, Lord, that you would help her to stay focused on herself and on what she can do to change herself, to become the person that you have chosen her to become, Father God, and that you give her courage and strength, Father God, to be able to go through this process one day at a time. And I pray blessings over her life and her mother and all of her family in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Today is April 24th, 2023, Monday at 8:20 a.m. Central Time. This is Diane Olive and Jeff Brown from Newburgh, Indiana. Shalom, shalom. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. I'm so happy to be able to pray and intercede for all of the Daily Audio Bible children of God and all the children of God all over the world. I love you all. And the Lord is bringing me up, up, up to a new place in him. And I just want to rejoice of that place. I want to rejoice of that place and sing of the blessings of Jesus all over us. And I love you. Kiss, kiss. I love you, his little Cherie. I love you, Rebecca from Michigan. I love you, all of you. I love you, Brian. I love you, Jill. I love you, China. I love you, Ezekiel. I love you, the other children of Brian and Jill. And I love you, Sister Billy, my spiritual mother. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. I could never thank you enough for the prayers you prayed for me. I could never thank you enough. And I
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Alex, Soldier for God, calling with a long overdue praise report. Months ago, I'd called asking for prayers for my wife and our unborn child because we were worried about complications with anemia. Long story short, we have a beautiful, plump baby boy who is over 6 weeks old now and doing wonderful. So I thank you all for your prayers. We've named him Caius, which means rejoice. And we definitely are rejoicing for having him. I'll definitely be praying for those people in Haiti, for the children and the workers, and all that they're going through. I ask that we all pray for our older generation and our generation, that we may teach the next generations the importance of God and his lessons. Because as we go through the book of Judges, it just always shows what happens when the next generation forgets what the previous generation learned. I pray and I beg that will not happen to our next one. I pray that they may be stronger in our faith than we were, stronger in their walk, and more sharpened in their knowledge of God. Thank you for your prayers. Bless you all.